He's trying to look away from Palestine, isn't he, at the minute? It's only because we're taken to the streets in our thousands and our millions that they're having to pay attention. So that's what we need to do. So thank you for that. Our next speaker, Andrew Murray, has spoken regularly at meetings in rallies in Newcastle for over 20 years now, since the formation of Stop the War. He's the former Chief of Staff at Unite the Union. He was Chair of Stop the War and presided at the concluding rally against at the historic 2 million strong Iraq war demonstration on the 15th of February 2003, possibly the largest political demonstration in British history. And along with another former Chair of Stop the War, Jeremy Corbyn MP, Andrew is the current Deputy President of Stop the War. So please give a massive welcome to Andrew Murray.
Thank you, Tony. I hope you'll hear me without a microphone, and it's always a pleasure to come to Newcastle, a city with such a tremendous working class tradition, to speak. Now, the title of this meeting, I don't normally start by sort of criticising a title of a meeting, but Trump imperialism in the Middle East, of course, all important subjects, but it's really a bit like the sort of title of an academic paper that one would write, analysing the situation. And I think the situation is much more urgent than that, because we are, as other speakers have already said, we are in the middle of a genocide. And a genocide that we are witnessing on our mobile phones, on our television screens, on our computers, every single day. And Stop the War and the other organisations involved in the Palestine Coalition started saying quite soon after October 7th, 2003, that this was a genocide. And at the time people said, well, why are you saying it's a genocide? Well, one reason was because the leaders of the Israeli state were themselves declaring, from the president downwards, their genocidal intentions. And by genocide, I mean the attempt to eradicate the Palestinian people as a living national unit on their own land. But now, today, fewer and fewer people dispute that it is a genocide. A genocide which assumes ever more demented and tormenting forms with every passing week. But now we have the starvation of the people of Gaza, and Nadine has described that very eloquently. But almost to add additional torture to that, the starving are forced to line up in the hope of aid and are then shot down, not just once in a sort of aberration, an odd, you know, accident or some sort of misfire that went wrong. Every single day, dozens and dozens and hundreds of starving people are being executed by the Israeli armed forces in the latest phase of an attempt to eradicate the existence of the Palestinian people from their own land. A drive that we see it, of course, in its most brutalised form in Gaza, but is also continuing on the West Bank, where unrestrained, to call it by its name, fascist violence by settlers who are integrated with the Israeli state for all practical purposes, are trying to ethnically cleanse the Palestinian people from their land. So we all know now this is a genocide. It is not happening out of sight. We know, we hear the voice a five-year-old Hind Rajab talking to an operator from the Red Crescent as she was lying surrounded by her dead relatives in a car calling for help. We see the faces of the Palestinian children, the Palestinian women, Palestinian people, as they are being slaughtered. Now, this is a genocide which our government is deeply complicit in. You will see some people say, oh, the British government has been sort of permitting this or acquiescing in this, in what is happening in Gaza. That is far too passive a formulation. It has been and is enabling it. It enables it through the strong diplomatic support it has given Israel from the first. It enables it when Keir Starmer, then leader of the opposition, now prime minister, says, yes, Israel does have that right to deny the people of Gaza food and water and fuel. It supports it politically. It supports it militarily, both through arms sales that have not all been stopped, but also from allowing the use of the RAF base in Cyprus, Akrotiri, both for spy flights over Gaza to provide intelligence to the Israeli forces, and through allowing it for the delivery of arms by the Americans and others. It enables it through the activities of the Royal Navy in the Gulf, which earlier this year was bombarding Yemen, one of the poorest nations on earth, in order to stop the expression of support from the Houthis in Yemen for the Palestinian people. So we, Britain, was bombing Yemen to make it easier for Israel to bomb Gaza. And these are criminal policies. And do not be deceived by the crocodile tears from David Lammy that we get from time to time. There is no change in policy whatsoever. No recognition of a Palestinian state. No arms embargo. No sanctions on the genocide. Can you imagine any other state doing this, what Israel is doing to the Palestinians? And there be no sanctions at all. These are the bleatings of a hypocrite. And we need to call it out. And yes, of course, we should talk about Donald Trump and what he represents. I am less interested in talking about Donald Trump than I am in talking about Keir Starmer and David Lammy, because they are our government, they're our problem, and we have to deal with them. Now, whatever might be said about the British policy in relation to the genocide, is it is not itself an aberration. It is not unusual. If you look at the record over this century alone, no need to go back further, although perhaps actually in a moment I will, but we have seen the war in Afghanistan, a disastrous 20-year occupation that left the country back where it started, but with many, many dead and much destruction in between. We saw the war on Iraq, which I have always described as the greatest crime of this century, but I fear it may no longer be so. But when Tony Blair was up to his neck in that war, and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis died as a result, and of course hundreds of British soldiers. The disastrous intervention in Libya that left a wrecked country, which is not recovered to this day, led to a migration crisis and the deaths of so many people trying to flee Libya through the Mediterranean. The interventions in Syria, which have broken that country as well. I've mentioned the recent bombing of Yemen, but the British government had been funding and supporting Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in attacking Yemen for many years before that. This is a consistent policy of imperialism, of imperialist intervention, which the British state is absolutely up to its neck in. Don't let anyone say, well, because the British Empire's gone, British imperialism is a thing of the past. Look at the actual record. It's a bloody record which has cost hundreds of thousands of lives in this century alone. And we all know about, I am going to go back a bit further to history now, of course, about how the British state is directly responsible, more than any other external power, except possibly the United States now, for the situation in Palestine, because it's the British state that gave Palestine to Zionism, despite having absolutely no right or authority to do that at all. But its influence is still felt in other ways. Look at what's happening in Gaza now. This process of starvation to try and drive people into this projected concentration camp to be established in the south of the Gaza Strip. That is taken straight from the playbook of British colonialism. This is what the British Army did in Malaya in the 1950s to try and break the insurgency in that country demanding its freedom. Denial of food to villagers across the country, forcing them into what really were concentration camps where they could be controlled. So there is a deep history here that we have an obligation before the world to challenge and to confront. But if we don't, worse still lies ahead. We have not time tonight to go into any detail in the Ukraine war. I will only say here that throughout that conflict, the British government, whether it was the Tories under Boris Johnson, he stopped partying in Downing Street for long enough to fly to Kiev in 2022 to stop any moves towards peace. The British government has worked to prolong and extend and deepen that conflict. It has done nothing whatever to bring about peace, and that remains its policy to this day. And we are sending aircraft carriers across the world to the Pacific to try and confront China, as if it was still the days of the Opium War and British troops, you know, fly the flag and the Chinese have to do what we tell them to. All this is leading to bigger and bigger wars. And Keir Starmer, well, literally, you can see him kneeling at Donald Trump's feet, literally kneeling, an iconic image for the ages, because he is taking us, following an American policy that will lead to even greater wars. And already we are paying the price for that. Not yet in blood, but in money. That the defence, the military budget, presently about 2% of GDP, it's been raised to 2.5% already by eviscerating the overseas aid budget. So already, there are children dying because of this policy around the world, denied the assistance that the British state previously provided. And then it's got to go up to 3.5%, 5% of GDP over the next 10 years. And already, don't think there is no connection between that on the one hand and trying to cut benefits for the disabled on the other, or take winter fuel payments away from pensioners, or whatever else Rachel Reeves is planning next. We are already paying for this policy of war. Our payment is nothing on the scale that the Palestinian people are suffering, but for the first time, to a far greater extent than any of the previous wars which Stop the War has campaigned about and which I've alluded to already there is a direct connection between this policy and the attack on our public services and our welfare here in this country. It's why it's so important to have trade unions like PCS working alongside the anti-war movement, because the policy of the British state, of Keir Starmer, is make the poor pay for our war. Our policy is welfare, not warfare. That is what we have to impose on the government. Now, we are under attack here as well. The size and strength and persistence of the mass movement of solidarity with the Palestinian people in this country, something quite extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. We've had 29 national demonstrations now. I don't think any of them have been less than 100,000 people or thereabouts. Some of them have been much more. People coming out on the streets again and again and again. It has rattled the establishment, and so we are under attack as a movement. We've seen the prescription of Palestine Action. Of course, I have to be careful what I say about this. If I was to praise the people who are committing genocide, the IDF, I'll be put in the House of Lords. If I praise the people who are opposing it, I'll be put in prison. So let me just say this, that spraying red paint is not terrorism. Spilling the blood of hundreds of thousands of Palestinian children is terrorism, and the terrorists are in charge. We've been arrested all over the country by half-witted coppers who think, Palestine flag, Palestine action, this is a Palestinian, she's doing some action for Palestine, off you go to the nick. And so we're seeing all this harassment of people. Stephen and I, well, we got summoned in for interview because we carried a bunch of tulips across Trafalgar Square in January. I spent an unpleasant hour in a basement at Holborn Police Station, no commenting to all of this. But four of our comrades, Chris Nine and Ben Jamal, Sophie Bolton, and Alex Kenny, are facing charges arising from that. So the right to protest is under deliberate and concerted attack, but the place it comes from is the strength of our movement and the fact that the establishment is frightened of us imposing our will on the foreign policy of the British state, which they have never liked and they don't like it anymore now, but we will carry on doing it. And it is our unity and our strength that is the answer to all these threats. We vastly outnumber our opponents. The people of Britain are almost united now in opposing the genocide, in wanting to take action by one means or another to resist it. And that is our obligation. Because let me end on this, and I think Nadine in her remarks hinted at it as well towards the end. The one mistake we must not make in considering the vast crimes being committed in Gaza is to regard the Palestinian people as victims. They are not victims. They are standing up, fighting for their rights, resisting their oppressors on their own land. We owe them our solidarity until victory.
Andrew, yes, we need to stand with them and recognise their